Die sehen also. Station, go again.
4WWZ from N4ZLK. Good morning, Chandler.
I was just about to pick up the mic and start calling CQ. Good morning, Shane. How you doing?
How are you? I haven't heard you in a while.
I'm doing all right. Let me get on the road here for a second, and I'll get right back with you. Hold on tight.
Okay, I'll be waiting here.
For TFW. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, Shane. KA3JCA.
Good morning, Richard, and hello, Sal. Go ahead, Ken.
And good morning. The morning crew left me for today, and Aunt Patrick's probably still sleeping, and Andrew's headed to the beach.
Still here.
Patrick's awake, and I know Andrew's going to have a good time. And good morning, Richard. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Shane. Good morning, everybody else. Yeah, I'm just getting ready to get up, go in there and try to get a cup of coffee here. I heard you on there, so I thought I'd say hello real quick. K3JCA.
Pat, I hope you have a good day. Enjoy that coffee. And, I guess Sally's working. She works from home now, right?
She's working at home, but she doesn't start till the 24th, so I'm letting her sleep in this morning.
Try not to talk too loud. You have a good morning. I'm glad you said hello. Go ahead, Chandler.
Left on the Hamburg Road.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Keith. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Richard. It's KO4WZ.
Take the next right.
Happy to be here with you this morning.
Richard, I guess it's the first time we've talked. The name over here is Ken, KN4TFW. And good morning, Chandler.
Ken, Richard, I believe this is the first time I've met you, so pleased to meet you, sir.
Good to meet both of you guys this morning there. I usually listen to you guys in the morning talking and so forth like that, so I figured I was up. I might as well pick up the mic and talk back. So, go ahead. I'm going to head off to my coffee. I'm slow getting up this morning, so you guys pick it up, take it around, and so forth, and I'll be back in here in a few minutes. KA3JCA.
Good morning.
Okay. Chandler, where are you working today?
Hey, I believe I'm possibly working in Taylor's. They've changed the address almost every day, so I gotta be very cautious. That's why I'm leaving as early as I am. That way, I can try and figure out what I need to do if I'm not at the right spot and still make it on time.
Done over there on the Blacks Road now?
What you been doing over there?
Heard you in a couple weeks. I was kind of off the radio for a while, so I wasn't sure. And good morning, Ken. You say you're on your way to work?
I'm halfway there this morning. At least it's Friday, right?
And I took it off, too. I got to run some errands. And got a cousin coming down on his way to the beach. He's coming down from Ohio. He's going to spend the night in Hendersonville, so we're going to have dinner with him tonight. And then it worked out because my wife's tire's got a leak in it. I didn't see anything. I didn't see a nail or a screw in it. And they're brand new tires. Just had them put on about 4,000 miles ago, so I think there's a leak at the whatever that little thing is called that you fill it up. You put the nozzle on it. Anyway, so I'm going to have that checked out. But it's definitely got a leak. It's down about 6 or 8 pounds. Go ahead, Chandler.
Damn. I hear you on that. You that sucks and you're getting weak in your tires. I'm going to say this. I know you said you, a lot of people have come up to their concerns about me because they didn't hear me on the radio. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's part of why I try not to be on the radio too much is because of that QRM. It just kind of kills the joy out of the hobby for me because they like to do everything you can to make me feel like dirt on the radio.
I understand. I'm sorry about that. I know they're working on it. Good to hear both of you, and I'll be around maybe, but I'm going to be off for a little bit, so I'll be back in here in a little bit. N4ZLK, go ahead, Chandler.
Yeah, I'm not going to let that guy take, you know, ruin my fun advantage of radio, but I just try not to get on much, so I ain't going to worry about being stressed out by him.
You have an awesome day. Enjoy your evening with your cousin, Annette, and I'll try to catch you later on the radio. KN4TFW.
He's Ken. KN4WWZ. Be careful today.
Hey, Chandler. It's good to hear you this morning. I hadn't heard you in a while.
Here, same here.
Whiskey's
in the good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Damon. KN4TFW.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well.
Doing all right over this way. How about you?
Well, Good Friday's here. We'll get it done. Get back to the house and start the weekend.
I like that kind of thinking.
Your facility yesterday.
I missed you. Usually when I hear her say that Republic's on the lot, that I usually look to see if I see your truck. I must have missed her.
In there, and I got ready to leave. I had to drop my badge off. I just shook my head. The security guard had her mask on. I hadn't seen her have her mask on. I said, what are you wearing your mask for? She said, they're making them wear their masks. I don't know if your company or the security company or what. Said they had to start wearing it started Monday.
Uber's off. They started it. I don't know why. Hopefully they'll look at the news and realize that you don't have to wear one. And I saw you the other day. You were headed down Camden's Campground Road. I kind of waved at you, a white Dodge pickup truck, but you probably didn't recognize.
I probably didn't. Yeah, I just kind of shook my head. I thought, all this time, and now we're going to start wearing masks again. Really?
I think it has to do with the amount of cases per 1,000 in Spartanburg County, and then Lubrizol requires you to start wearing it, but I think they need to take a closer look at it. You know, the CDC released all those guidelines, so we shouldn't have to do it anymore.
Well, yeah, I've been preaching this since this all started. If you ain't going to do but just half of the situation, then don't do it at all. You can't just, you know, well, I'm gonna wear a mask at work, but my rest of my family's not going to wear one, or when I go to Walmart, I'm not going to wear one. You got to do it the whole time, or it ain't worth a dime.
Definitely right on that one. So how about yesterday? We had a tanker come in, and he got loaded, and then he realized he wasn't legal to haul a placard load.
Wow. No words can describe that. Wow.
There's how many times stuff like that happens out here that you go to a chemical plant and you can't haul it?
I know a lot about it because I never did get certified in hazmat because you got to stay up on that every week. I mean, every year. And I just said, screw it, I ain't going to do it. But once you get your hazardous material endorsement on your license, are you not certified to haul any of that?
I guess he was pulling a tanker, and I guess he's certified for certain chemicals, but not all of them. And the one we loaded him with, he wasn't certified for. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. Shane may know.
Under an impression that it was one of those deals where once you got your hazardous materials endorsement on your license, as long as your company trained you and all that, you was trained and certified to haul anything far as, I'll say anything, almost anything. Copy that. Go ahead.
You get your hazmat, that means that you can carry anything that has the potential to combust on your truck. If you get your hazmat and you start running tanker trucks, if you love me, I know that you could probably make around $100,000 a year.
And that's what I was thinking on that. As long as you got your hazmat, you can haul, flammables, your flammable liquids, corrosive liquids, anything. They don't have to be liquids, it could be anything, but I don't know, that's crazy.
That part about it was that, he's like, well, can you take it back off? Well, even if we unloaded the truck, it still counted that because the tanker wasn't washed out and we couldn't wash it out, it still counted as the hazardous load. So, they had to send another driver to pick it up.
Don't surprise me, though, man. With today's world and what we hire and companies that hire and, drop their standards and all that, I mean, we hired a guy a while back that he didn't tell. I blame management on this, number one. But he didn't tell that he had a automatic transmission endorsement. So we hire him, and a lot of our trucks have got manual. Now, the newer trucks, the ones that's been here a while, gets the automatics. Well, so he started trying to play that card once he got in the door. Well, I got to have automatic. I can't drive nothing except automatic. Well, first of all, that's management. Second of all, that's your fault for not speaking up when you got hired and said, hey, just letting y'all know, I can't drive nothing except automatic. Instead of waiting until we done hired you and 3 months down the road trained you and all that, then we're going to start pitching that bit.
Sense of that.
I really, really consider wanting to be a truck driver just because you can make extremely good money doing that over the road. But, people got to be all picky and whatnot, and they look at my hands and my face and they tell me, oh, well, we don't know if you can do that or not.
18 years, I enjoy it. If I didn't have a family, I'd actually be on the road full time, you know, but I'm home every night and stuff. I can't complain. I enjoy doing that. But like I said, if I didn't have a wife and kids, I'd be out there every day, every night. That's what I used to do. When I first started, I get my foot in the door so I could get a local job and go back in. If you had a Class A license, companies would not hire you unless you had experience over the road first. You had to kind of do your time on the road, then go get a local job. So that's what I did. And I got lucky and grabbed this job I'm at now. I've been here 18 years, but I enjoyed the road. I was young, and I think that's what I needed to get away from my mom and dad, get out on my own, and mingle with the real world. But I think it made a man of me for the simple fact that the trucking industry back then, and truck stops and dealing with truck drivers and all that, they're brutal. They chew you up, spit you out. You had to learn how to hold your own and stand your ground. And, you know, not let no one run over you and all that when you're out here on the road. And that's what I did, and I think it made a man out of me.
Good thing, buddy. That's really good. What you said about having to have OTR experience before you can get a local job, my recollection is that they still do it that way.
They do and they don't. A lot of companies drop their standards now because right now the trucking industry is hurting. And there's been a lot of people retired. There's not a lot of people coming in this field because they want it easy. It's a hurting, so they're dropping their standards. I mean, they're going straight to the schools and getting them right out of the schools to mold them the way they want to mold them. You know, local companies. There's a lot of local companies around here right now that's hiring, well, no over-the-road experience.
I'm going to be doing some canning some chicken and some stew beef this weekend. Thought about you this morning.
I've been aiming to look it up and I forgot about it. I bet that stew beef would be good. So how you do that now? What's the process like stew beef?
Just chunk it up. Pack it in there best you can. Try to get rid of as much air as you can and stick it in a jar and cook it in a jar.
You have to cook it.
But it's basically all the same amount of time. It's like an hour and 15 minutes at, I think, 11 PSI for pints. And then quarts is an hour and a half at 11 PSI.
Put that stew beef, some carrots, and potatoes and stuff in there and just cook it all that way and then it'd be ready to eat, ready to can, or, you know, it'd already be canned.
We could do that, you know what I mean? Cook it all together and it'll be a ready-made meal. You can just warm it up, or if things got bad, you could just open it up and eat it straight out of the jar.
Put in your little machine.
Plans of 7 or 8 quarts you can put in there at the same time. You can, of course, you could double that. You can double stack them if you do pints.
Now, I don't know. I didn't listen to people talk. But at one time, they was telling me that the jars and stuff was hard to get. Was that a case back in COVID times and all that or no?
They're hard to get. I mean, we used a lot of jars here for samples, and man, they were hard to get. I had to go to alternative sources to find them. Our regular supplier was out, but yeah, since it's canning season, they're a little bit harder to find. But the good thing about it, you know, once you do the investment, you know, the jars are reusable, and you can usually find the lids.
Just like like I said, the chicken, or just anything, you know. If it's raw, put it in there, and you know, I guess if it's already cooked, you just have to kind of watch it so you don't overcook it and all that.
Cooked, you have to put some broth in with it or something to keep it moist. And then, but if it's not cooked, you don't want to put anything, any liquid in it, because it'll make its own liquid when it cooks down. And that, but I hate it. I've made it here to the parking lot, so I'm gonna have to say 7-3s to you guys, and hope you guys have an awesome day and stay safe out there. KN4TFW.
Ken, if you got time to comment on this, and I'll let you go. What's it actually called? Is it just called a cannery, or what is that actual name of what you got?
Mine's called a pressure canner, or sometimes they call it a pressure cooker, and that mine's made by a company called Presto. The lid kind of just it goes on, and then it turns, you know, 15 or 20 degrees to latch in. It has a pressure gauge, and then it has a relief, and you put a little weight on there depending on the pounds pressure you want it to cook at. But for meat, you need at least 10 PSI for the amount of time. And you have to wait until it gets up to that pressure before you start timing everything. And that gives you the proper temperature to kill off all the bacteria.
I'd look at it. Thank you again. Enjoy your day at work. Kilo 54 X-ray whiskey.
For Ducky Ducky's, Kilo 54 X-ray whiskey.
KN4 TFW.
73's, Ken. My bad.
Being the landfill myself, so I'm going to go ahead and clear. 73's, have a good. I'll let you later, buddy. Kilo 84 X-ray whiskey.
Copy that. 73's to you, sir. I was just going to say, the schools and stuff, the companies like Swift and CR England, are those bad companies?
Training from them. Basically, they own you. If you go through their training, they own you for so amount of time, or you have to pay them back. You know, if you want to be on the road, I think that they're pretty decent companies. You know, but if you want to be at home, you kind of stay away from stuff like that. There's a company out of that's got a terminal out of Columbia called TMC. It's a flatbed company. They get you home every weekend. There's another company called Coastal Transport. I used to work for them. What I did was flatbed for a long time, like a couple of years. But they got me home every weekend, so I was at least home on the weekend. So I kind of enjoyed that better than just staying out there. Now, if I didn't, I had a girlfriend at the time, which is my wife now, but if I didn't have that, I'd have probably stayed out there and wouldn't even come on again for the weekend, but it is what it is. Anyway, I enjoyed it. Have a good Kilo 54 X-ray whiskey.
I'll do that. 73 is Dana. Always a pleasure to talk to you. KO4WWC, I'll be on the side listening. I'm going to go put some gas in my car.